We're going to be talking this morning about God, about His nature, about getting a further glimpse of God as He really is. And just before we read a portion of Scripture, I'm going to ask Ted to come and sing a song that I didn't tell him what the heart of my message was this morning, but the song that he sang in the early service, just seemed to, in another way, expose the heart of God and His care and His love for us.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other power could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. Every day He comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand His words of love. But I'll never know just why He came to save me, till that day I see His face in heaven above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares.
I realize when young people, boys and girls, sit together, there's a tendency to want to catch up on the latest, but I'm going to ask you to put a comma, whatever you're visiting with, talking, give me your attention here for just a little while. I appreciate this so much. I'm going to have you turn to Psalms 23, one of the most familiar portions of Scripture in the whole Bible. Psalms 23. And there's something you're going to discover in this psalm. I wonder if there's anybody here that thinks they might have read this psalm 100 times. Can I see your hand? Oh, there must be 100 people. Is there anybody here that thinks they might have read it 500 times? She said she has, and here's a couple. I'll tell you, it's a good psalm. I believe my mother did. I think she read the whole psalms 500 times. But I don't think you could wear out that section of the Bible in 4 or 5 different Bibles in just a few years' time if you didn't read them all the time. But there's something so good about these beautiful psalms. And in this psalm, David is giving us a little picture of his feeling about God. You know that there, I don't believe there is another subject or another area that people are have greater misconceptions concerning than they do about God. The concepts are vary so much, and there's such a wide variety of ideas that people might have if they were to try and describe God to you. But David learned something about God. He learned that he was a very personal God. And in this psalm, he just tells how that God has come walking out of ivory palaces. He has come walking down from the farthest control room, star of heaven, down and has become somebody that cares for him. He's a friend, so strong and true. David found this out. So we're going to read together. I'd like for you to read aloud and in unison the entire 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Yes, what a beautiful song. I'd like to have you keep your Bibles open for just a moment and notice the a little insight here that David had toward God, regarding God. And that is the personal relationship. Now, God doesn't really mean to you what he wants to mean to you until you can say, he's mine. And then when you can say, not only is he mine, but he's my shepherd, and then tell all the things that he does. Now, just a few moments ago, I took out my pen, and I drew little boxes around all of the personal pronouns here. And you just can't imagine how many times David talked about himself there. Until you can talk about yourself and God in the same breath, you still have a way to go. In fact, we still have a way to go anyway, but we're a little short of what God intends. Do you know that in this little tiny chapter, there are four I's, five my's, seven me's, and one mine? A total of, what is that, 17. A total of 17 personal pronouns. I heard someone complaining one time about an individual who was giving a testimony, and they said, why, all I hear is I, my, seems like they just relating it to themselves. It kind of made me feel like shouting hallelujah. You can really testify when God does something for you personally. When it's something that is just hearsay or hope so or somewhere else, it doesn't have quite the same punch. But it's pretty hard to pull from a person that which they know as it relates to them. David discovered here that God was a true, wonderful shepherd. Now, it's important that we learn to know God aright. We are living in the greatest days of all history, folks. We're living in a day when God is moving by his Spirit. When we're experiencing days of restoration. People are being restored back into wonderful fellowship with God. The mighty supernatural ministries that God himself initiates are being seen and in action again among his people. happenings such as Moses experienced when he stood by the burning bush are again taking place. You realize what happened in the case of Moses. Moses was had a very definite spot that God had foreordained him for in his great plan and purpose. God spoke to Abraham 700 years before and said, your descendants are going down into the land of Egypt. And there in the land of Egypt, they're going to be slaves, bondsmen for 400 years. After that, I'm going to bring them out with a strong hand. The fullness of time came. God said, I have heard the groanings of those people in that land of slavery and his clock that he had set. The alarm sounded. And he said, I have come down to deliver them. It was the fullness of time for their sojourn there in the land of Egypt. And in order, in this preparation, God had prepared Moses. He had spared his life as a babe. But Moses was out in the back country for 40 years. The call had been in his heart. But for 40 years he was out tending sheep and wondering, I wonder if God hasn't forgotten me. I want to do something for God so bad, and here I am. I'm just the only type of life that I influence are these sheep. But in the fullness of time, Moses was doing what God had given him to do. God was not behind, he was not ahead. And the fullness of time, in time to deliver and see that his great plan was carried out, God met Moses at the burning bush. Moses saw the bush, but it didn't burn up. God met him. It was a supernatural manifestation. Moses knew. He was convinced. Moses had to have this revelation of God's power, or he could have never led the children of Israel out. He could have gone back down there and turned his back. For Moses already felt like he was insecure. Somebody told me one time, when you live around a bunch of sheep, you get to feeling like that. You talk to sheep like you would people, and then when you find people, you talk to people like you would sheep. And it doesn't work too good. So Moses said, I can't talk. You remember the story. But because God was with him, God proved himself to him, Moses was able to lead these people out. But we're today. God has made another promise. Now, he hasn't told us the exact day and time like he did Abraham about his descendants. But he did tell us that in the fullness of time, Michael, or is it Gabriel? I guess it's Gabriel that blows the trumpet, would pick up the trumpet and give a blast. And God's people would be delivered from this world. Egypt is always a type of the world. But in preparation for this hour, God is again bringing men and women to the burning bush. They're seeing the fire. God is speaking to them. He says, I have a job to do. People are saying, well, I'm unable. I'm not adequate. I'm not sufficient in myself to do these things that you're asking me to do. But God said, I will be with you. I'll help you. And I'm constantly, people are coming and saying, God gave me an opportunity to witness to someone. And I was so fearful, I didn't know for sure what to say, but it just seemed like God gave me direction. He helped me to say things that I hadn't even thought of before. God was doing. How many of you have had that experience? Oh, so many of you. You're proving what we're saying this morning, that this great renewal and awakening is coming because of the fullness of time. Jesus is coming back, and God has his people out, readying folk for that great evacuation of this earth. Praise God. God revealed himself in a beautiful way to Moses. And in this day, in that day, those that God used, before they could be used of God, God had to give them a revelation of Himself. Now, there are a lot of people today that are asking for spiritual gifts. They're saying, what is the key? What is the secret to make this work? And they're looking for the secret, for the key, for an operational spiritual gift before they get a glimpse of God, who He really is. But God's order is, when we see Him, these other things fall into place, and God can use us. Oh, I thank God for the pattern that He has set. I see not only Moses with his experience. When Moses, in Exodus 33, verse 18 and 19, Moses cried out to God, "Show me thy glory." In order, he had already seen the supernatural move of God, but in seeing this, he wanted to see God more as he was than ever before. "Show me thy glory." And God let him know that he would allow him to see this. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles. There's some good reading there that will inspire you. God let him see what he was really like here. God said, "I will make all of my goodness to pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." But somebody says, "God, you forgot to tell Moses you're going to show him your wrath, too." People are so concerned that if you start talking about what God is really like, you're going to make people so they'll be reckless and careless and turn away from God. This is a bunch of nonsense. People can't really live to please God till they have a glimpse of Him as He really is. He wants us to be God conscious and not sin conscious. There used to be some books printed, and I imagine they're still being taught in some areas, all about the wrath of God, which is included in the Bible. God points to His wrath, but not until after He has pointed to His true nature. The wrath of God is reserved, He tells us. It's reserved for those who refuse to accept Him and walk with Him. But these books, and I preached this for a while because I thought it was so. I thought stuff that was in a book that you learn in Bible school and you could buy down at the Christian Supply Store was true. And so when it said there's 8 times as much mention of the wrath of God in the Bible as the love and the loving kindness of God, I kind of believed them. I didn't check it out. Somebody sure told a big lie. I want you to know that every time God makes mention of Himself to His people, He's telling about His true nature. In this message this morning, on the portrait of God, I want you to see what God is really like. It kind of grew on me and got a little bit too big, so I'm going to have it in 4 sermons. The love of God is one beautiful facet. It's like a flash from the diamond. And then His righteousness. I don't want anybody to miss when I bring you that message from God's Word on His righteousness. It's so totally different than what people have realized and what they've assumed and written. I'm going to take it right out of the Word of God, what His righteousness really is. And this is a part of His beautiful portrait. Then I'm going to show you what His Word has to say about another angle of His picture, and that is His mercy. And then one that will excite you is the faithfulness of God. And so, He said, "I'll let my goodness pass before you, and in the 34th chapter, and verse 5, he tells us how the Lord met him. He said, "You can't see my face, but I want you to know I'm going to stand right there beside you. I'm going to hide your eyes there for you. So you can still live, because I'm so bright in all of my glory that you couldn't look on me and live. But I want you to know I'm going to stand right there with you. And I'm going to tell you. I'm going to describe to you what I'm really like." And so here we read it in the 5th verse. "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there." Oh, hallelujah. "And he proclaimed the name of the Lord. And then the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord,'" he's describing himself now, "'the Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.'" But again, somebody says, isn't there some mention of his wrath? Not until he's described his goodness. People have it backwards. They're wanting to hurl out, and they haven't caught a glimpse of what God is really like yet. When they're holding out the wrath, in all honesty, they feel that they're doing something that if people can somehow see the wrath of God, they will be frightened into turning to God and living for God. But God here says, "Here is what I'm like. But those who refuse me, there is a dark side, and that is the wrath of God that would be meted out upon those who refuse to serve him and live for him." But in his portrait of himself that he gives to the world, and the door of hope that he opens up to people is not a door of fear into himself, but it's a door to see God, how he really is, how he wants to be your shepherd, how he wants to lead you and guide you, how he wants to feed you in those pastures that are so green, that you drink there by the still waters, bring peace to your soul, bring restoration to you. God is as much as saying, "I want you. I'm interested in you. Those things that are important to you are important to him." Well, then there's, I'm going to have to really hustle here, because I want to really hit the heart of this. Not only did Moses have this experience of seeing God as he really was, but Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 9, Isaiah said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I had a glimpse of him." Isaiah had been a pretty good guy up to now. You see, he had heard plenty about the wrath of God. He had heard plenty about sin, but he thought he was a pretty good guy. But nothing really got a hold of him until he saw the Lord. And when he caught a glimpse of God, as it was, oh, he said, "Oh, what beauty, what glory." And then he just happened to glance down at himself. Oh, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, because mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Oh, hallelujah. If you want people to see the rottenness of sin and of human endeavor and effort, let them get a glimpse of God as he is. He cried out, "Oh, God, what am I going to do?" God said, "You don't have to beg. You don't have to try and lift yourself to a higher level. That awareness of seeing me and then knowing your own helplessness, that there's nothing you can do, is enough." He said, "Seraphim, take a live coal from off the altar, touch this man's lips and carry a message to him and say, your iniquity or your sin is purged. Your iniquity is all taken away. Forgiven." What brought it all about? His eyes got glimpse of God. Hallelujah. Paul caught a glimpse of God. Oh, what a difference it made to him. He said I was caught up into the third heaven. And I heard things that I couldn't describe. I got a glimpse of him, and it did something to me. And now I'm able to share it with you and tell you what God is like. I remember the disciples in John, the 14th chapter, in the 8th verse. They cried out, "Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. It's sufficient. If I catch a glimpse of God, it will help me." Do you know what's taking place today? Just like these men of old that caught a glimpse of God, and their whole ministry changed. And their ability to help people was increased. God is in this great renewal today. He is placing his hand upon people's lives. He's lifting their gaze. He's letting them behold him in all of his fullness and his glory. And in areas where the supernatural acts of God are being outpoured and are being manifested, in every one of these cases, that individual has seen the Lord. And their message is the same. God has been moved from that description, that page, where people are looking at him totally wrong, as though somehow they have to earn or beg or catch God in the right mood for him to care for them. Hey, listen, there's another verse there in Exodus, the 34th chapter. You want to read on down to verse 10, where after Moses had a chance to see God in all of his glory, God said, "Now, let me tell you what's going to happen now that you've seen me." He said, "I'm going to do things that are so great and so wonderful that it's going to make you stand back in awe because you had a chance to see me." And I have inquired, I've talked, I've read, I've had reports of people that are seeing the wondrous things happen that are causing people to stand back and say, "It has to be God." And things that we're seeing happen right here, people are saying, "It has to be God. There's no way to describe it. There's no way in the world for it to happen any other way. It's God at work." And in these cases, in each instance, that individual has caught a glimpse of God. I've had people come. I had two pastors this week come and see me, ask me, "Pastor, what is the key? At what point in time in your ministry did it seem like this acceleration in the flow of the supernatural took place? Can you give us some key?" I've had several come and say, "Is there some equation, some formula where we could see the same thing happen?" And there is that, again, that desire for the thing without the vision. God. But I had a chance to talk to these men this week. One of the men, one of our pastors here in the area, a presbyter, came to me and said, "Pastor, I am so hungry for this move of God in my own life, my own ministry. I can't stand it." He wanted me to pray with him, for him. He's going to be coming back each week. I'm going to share some of the beauties of God with him. Hallelujah. You know what's going to happen? God's going to show him his glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. And just as it happened with Moses before the great evacuation took place, God is preparing people. He's putting the hunger in their heart. "Look to me. Look to me." And he's creating that restlessness and that hunger within their hearts. People are coming off of a 40-year stint in the desert, and they're finding burning bushes. Glory to God. And the arm of God is again stretched out. These are the most beautiful days of all. I mentioned the people in the early service. One of the things that happened this week that really
I just can't thank God enough. Remember a few weeks ago when I spoke to this woman that was released from Blackfoot, God put a new mind to her. Somebody heard this about this. They weren't at the service, but they heard about it in another church. And they brought a lady that has a disease in her brain, and there's only about a fourth of her brain functioning. Even the parts that are in that control the body, not just the thinking part, but the other parts were deteriorated to where she was in real bad condition. And I didn't feel like anything particular happened. We prayed, but at the moment I didn't see anything. But this week, we had a lady that, in order to get a hold of me, I was ministering to people and I couldn't take the phone. She called three times. One time she said, "I'll just hold," and she held for several, ten minutes or more. But she called again, was able to get a hold of me. And she practically shouted on the phone, "Hallelujah, I'm all healed. My mind is back. Praise God." She's got a job now. She's just so excited and so happy. She reminded me who she was. Oh, I tell you. Folks, listen, God's doing it. God's doing it. It's not some individual. It's the fact that because God is, and I attribute a lot of it to this, and like with these men that have come, I told them it was when God let me see what he was really like. I'm not doing anything different. In fact, I'm struggling and straining a whole lot less. If God can't do it, I know I can't. But in sharing with people, and just in a quiet way, the enemy knows. It doesn't have to be a loud noise for the enemy to leave. He recognizes authority. He knows that I know what God's like. And he has to leave. He has to go. Hallelujah. And the Lord then honors in the flow of his life this amazing thing. Praise God forever. I was mentioning about the trip I took to McCall in our first service. And while I talked about that, when I met the Lord on June the 19th, 1974, it was a beautiful experience that I laid before God. While I was talking about that, God smiled. It made him so happy. Because he remembered that day, too. That he let me have the same feeling I had when I thought I was going to explode right here on the platform. I just got fuller and fuller. I couldn't talk for a couple of minutes. Many of you were here for that service. It was that life. God let me see who he was, what he was really like. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he wants you to take a good look at God. Show us the Father. Jesus said, if you want to know what he's really like, take a good look at me. See my love, joy. See my long suffering, my gentleness. See how I love you and how I care for you. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to just bring you a couple of more truths here quickly and in conclusion. But because Moses caught a glimpse of God, he described what God was like in his last words to the children of Israel, Deuteronomy 33, and verse 3, he talks to them. And you see here a little bit of, Moses couldn't have said this at one time, but now he caught a glimpse of the Lord and is describing what God is really like, his love for them. And he talked to all the 12 tribes here and told them something wonderful, God's feeling, and all these feelings that God had for those people are toward us too. Deuteronomy 33, verse 3. Yea, he loved the people. You see, this picture, this part of the portrait is his love. He loved the people. All of his saints are in his hand. What are you worrying about? You're in his hand. Because he's your shepherd, he cares for you. You're in his hand. And they sat down at his feet. He cares enough for you to say, hey, you're close. I want to be your personal God. Your God. They sat down at his feet and they received his word. He turned his word here into the living word. Praise God. In the 12th verse, he's talking to the tribe of Benjamin and said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. That place of strength that he's going to be taken care of by God. He's letting us know what God is like. He's giving us a picture here. And we said he's going to cover him all day long. He means that beautiful covering of his righteousness over the top of you all day long, all night long, so that you could say to the devil when he comes to you and said, a fine Christian you are, look what you thought, look what you may have said. You just kick him in the shin, tell him he's a big old liar, that God's covering you all the day long. Hallelujah. He's covering you. As long as you want to live for God, there aren't enough devils in hell to pull you away from. He said that. Praise God. But it took a glimpse of God. Paul had this glimpse when he wrote in the 8th chapter of Romans, when he says, nothing will separate. You can get up and walk away if you want to, but who in the world would ever want to walk away from you? Turn your back on him. Some people do. Then I'd like for you to notice his care there when he speaks to Asher in verse 25, 26, 27. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help. He's telling you that he cares enough about you that if you're in trouble, he'll scoot clear across the heavens to get where you are, to help you. Praise God. The eternal God is thy refuge. You've got a place to hide. And underneath are the everlasting arms. You say, I just can't stand anymore. I've got to let go. I'm going to fall. It's all right. You'll fall at any time. Underneath are those everlasting arms. Hallelujah. And he said, the enemy might press you on every side, but you feel, well, I know I'm supposed to be strong enough to be able to put the enemy. But he said, just in case you aren't, he shall thrust out the enemy from before you. And he'll say, now he's on the run. Get out there and destroy it. Praise God. Praise God. Then that 29th verse, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee. O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, who is the sword of thine excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. The strongholds of the enemy, I have no chance. When you catch a vision of God and what he's really like, and the strongholds of the enemy are falling today around the world because people have got a glimpse. Praise God. I have to mention Isaiah. I'm not going to read all of these, but I would like for you to get the reference. They're so beautiful. Read them this afternoon or this week. Isaiah 63:9. He said that Isaiah, he caught a glimpse of God and saw what he was really like. And so now he could tell the people that when we're afflicted, when we're hurting, he hurts too. In all of our afflictions, he is afflicted. But he said, he helps us during that time and carries us through. Then, in Isaiah 49, 15 and 16, he said, mothers might have even been known to forget their kids. But he said, the glimpse that I had of God says he's a God that never forgets. That's what I see now. He'll never forget you. Isaiah 38:17. He said, by the way, this God is such a great God, and he cares so much about you, he will totally remove all the records of sin from your life. He'll destroy them. He'll take them as far as the east is from the west. This is the God that I saw, Isaiah said. This is him. Paul caught a glimpse of him too, and over in Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 8, he tells us that we who were dead, trespassing and sin, now we're made alive, so we share his life. Then he said, he brings his glory to us, and so he raised us up to sit in heavenly places with him, beholding his glory. So he shares his life. Then this great God that we're talking about shares his glory with us. And then he said, the God that I discovered cares so much about us, he even lets us in on his plan. That in the ages to come, he's going to show us his loving kindness. He's going to let us taste of that love throughout the ages to come. Oh, hallelujah. Then I always have to come back to this. If you want to really know a clincher for the truth that is found in the other parts of the Bible, ask Jesus about it. Jesus, what is God like? Is he really a God of love? Does he really care about people? You read over it in John 17, verse 23-26. Jesus had no reason here to try and prove a point. All he was doing was having a little chat with his Father. And so he wasn't establishing doctrine here. He wasn't even given a rule to live by. He was just talking to his Father. And I think that everybody that has a Bible should turn to this. John 17:23-26. It might be a good idea for us to read verse 22 to start with. Talking to his Father now, and he said, Father, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Now here's what he said, that the world may know not only that he sent me, but that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. What is Jesus saying? Jesus, do you mean that God loves us as much as he loved you? Jesus said, that's exactly what I said. Oh, hallelujah. Doesn't that make me feel good? How much does God love Jesus? God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. You read down here, in verse 26, I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. Hallelujah. Don't look for reasons why this isn't true. It is true. Don't weaken it, listen. But, Ms. Fernandez, it's true. Ask God to give you a revelation of himself, and you'll see it's true. That one that leaned on Jesus' bosom and felt his heart beat, Jesus let him have a little special glimpse of God. Somebody asked him, John, what is God like? John said, well, best way I can describe it is in one little four-letter word. God is love. And in the experience that the Lord has given me, I feel so honored, humbled. I don't understand why, but I'm thankful for it. And it's not a one-time experience, but it's something that the Lord continues to do. And I believe that with with this church, with the people that the Lord's bringing to Himself. They're catching a glimpse of God. Oh, hallelujah. And He's so different than the God that has been pictured with that club, with that feeling of austerity that you can't whistle or smile. He wants you to. The whole atmosphere of heaven is bursting with joy. Happiness. Praise God. In each experience that God has given me, I've learned to know Him a little bit better. And I have never been so relaxed in my whole life. I've never been as relaxed before as I am right now, since God told me. Get back and relax. You can't prove anything to me anyway. I already know you can't make any impression on me. So you just will, and I love you just the way you are. Hallelujah. So, I'm not going to sweat. I'm not going to try and make it hard for me Him to love me. If He loves me the way I am, I'm going to just accept it. Hallelujah. And I don't feel like walking on tiptoes around God. I don't feel like walking softly around Him, because He's my God. He's a God that is ours. We can embrace Him. He's mine. He's mine. And when you can say He's mine, and He cares about me, hallelujah, the devil isn't going to have a chance with you. I want you to know that. Because the enemies will be destroyed. You know, I just feel this morning that the Lord has something special for every person that has come. I believe that He has a glimpse of Himself, and He's already revealed Himself to us. And I believe that with like the children of Israel, as they saw the glory of God, they saw His mercy, His goodness, His truth. They bowed, they humbled themselves, and they cried out to Him, and worship the Lord, and praise His name. Where is one in praising the Lord? We have people here from many states. We have people here from many churches. But God doesn't see your differences. He sees what you have in common. That hunger for God. Show us the Father. And He says, here I am. See me, behold me. Hallelujah. And as you catch a glimpse of Him, your life will be changed. It will never be the same. What the world needs is Jesus. You see, He is a revelation of God. Just one glimpse of Him. What the world needs is Jesus. Just a glimpse of Him. He will bring joy and gladness. Take away sin and sadness. What the world needs is Jesus. Would you stand with me right now? You can lay your Bibles down on the seat. I would like for every person, we are in God's presence right now. And He wants to buy you to cry from your heart. Whether you've ever known Him before or not, it doesn't make any difference. This could be the day that He vaults you right into His presence. He wants to pull back the clouds, the curtains that may hide. He wants you to see Him right now. Would you lift your hands toward heaven? And I'd like to have you look in His direction. Ask Him to reveal Himself. Again, pray that prayer. Show us the Father. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Father, we come to You because of Jesus. He's opened up the way. Jesus. And as you behold Him, I believe He will say to you, I hear His voice this morning, I will do wonders. such as have not been done, as he told Moses. I believe that the words of Jesus will be fulfilled. Greater works than these will you do, because I go to my Father and I reveal him to you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, we love you. Oh, God. Dear Lord, you see hearts that are hungering and they've been crying out for this experience, for this revelation. Right now, reveal yourself. Oh, God, stand before them. As you did Moses, may their hearts hear you crying, the Lord God, gracious and merciful, slow in anger and plenteous in mercy. Oh, God, may we hear this description of yourself. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh. Oh, Jesus. When we catch that glimpse of you, we will also hear that message. The whole earth is filled with this. I don't know when he felt such an intensity of God's presence. He's here. He's here. I'm confident that he's revealing himself to some people here today in a brand new way. And all of the other things that he makes available, come on and get back.